Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for just bringing us together. I pray right now, Lord, that you just bless us in a mighty way. I pray that you'd open up your word to us, Lord. I pray that you would teach us, you'd make us teachable now, Lord. And again, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather in your name, Lord, just proclaim you, because you are worthy, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me get a drink of water, get this out of the way. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good. All right. Have you ever asked a question? You ready? Have you ever asked the question, if I could see that done, I could do it? Never? Never asked that question? If I could see that done, man, I could do it. You know, one of the amazing things that I think about the modern era today is that I can open up YouTube and I can find a video on how to do something. I'm thankful for that. Because I can tell you, while I was sitting in seminary, I had a paper I had to do, right? It was due that afternoon. It was the same day that we're going to go on vacation. So literally, Sharon is chomping at the bit. Everybody's waiting for me to get this paper. And you know what was holding me up? I couldn't figure out how to number the pages. I'm not lying to you. If you've ever tried to number like 10, 12 page paper in Word, I couldn't believe it. Because in here, there's a format that you had to have. On the very first page, you had to have the one at the bottom. And then when you flip it to the next page, you had to have the two up in the upper right corner. And then all the other pages got to match that. And it's got to go in order. And I couldn't get the one off the bottom of the page. Right? And then I couldn't get them all to fall in order. Because if I change just one number, they would all change. I spent almost 2 hours trying to get this done. Now, you can imagine, I spared the monitor. The dog left the room. Everybody's like hiding from me because I'm at the height of frustration. The van is packed. Everybody's sitting in the van waiting for me. And it finally hits me. I bet someone's put this out on YouTube and they figure it out. And you know what? In 5 minutes, I had my pages numbered. And I was out the door. All because of a YouTube video, right? I was amazed at that. But here's something else that was pretty interesting is that I'm sitting in class, and guess what happened? One of the girls there, she goes, Sarah Beth was her name. She's from North Carolina. She says, I can't figure out how to number these pages, and it's killing me. And I say, let me show you. Just like that, I taught her right there. And she thanked me for the rest of the whole seminary experience. She goes, that's the guy who taught me how to number pages, right? But I was able to share what I learned with someone else, right? I learned something, and I was able to teach somebody. You know, I just think that's amazing. There is a point to that, and you'll see later on. But we are working our way through the letter of Colossians. So if you have your Bibles, start turning to the letter of Colossians. And if the person next to you doesn't know what that is or where it is, help them out. The church in Colossae was experiencing some trouble, if you remember. There was a group of people who had come into the church, and they were starting to add to the gospel. They started adding to the gospel. They started telling people Jesus wasn't enough. And we have people today tell us Jesus isn't enough. You got to do, you got to do, you got to do. And they started adding to the gospel. And they said they need to start following parts of the law. That they need to keep the Sabbath. They need to eat certain foods in certain times of the year. They had to follow certain festivals. And they also even started to say that they had to go through angels to get to God. And we can see that in some of the letters, like in Hebrew. We see this teaching that was kind of like going around. And then Paul writes this letter. He writes this letter just to set them straight, that to reinforce the fact that Jesus is enough. You don't need to add anything to Christ. Christ is sufficient. So Paul sets out from the very beginning to establish who Jesus is, because in the Christian faith, we have to get Jesus right, right? You have to get him right, because there's a lot of different people who say he's just a teacher, he's just this, or that he's the son of this. I mean, you can see there's all kinds of ideas about Jesus, but Scripture is very clear on who Jesus is. So we got to get Jesus right, and Paul knows that. And his goal of this letter is so that it can help him to be filled with the knowledge of his will, his wisdom, and spiritual understanding of who Christ is. And why does he want this to happen? And he says in verse 10, first chapter 1, verse 10, and it's the point of this whole letter, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. That's the goal of the letter. He wants us to know Christ, to grow in him, and to walk worthy of him, and bear fruit in Christ. That's what he wants us to do. So he's going to lay out, what does that look like? And then Paul, if you see in the first chapter, Paul goes on to expound the greatness and the sufficiency of Jesus. He says in verse 13, he, talking about God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We have redemption and forgiveness of sins in him. He describes Jesus, Paul does, both as creator of all things and the head of the church. And doing so, he is established that Jesus is both Lord of creation and he is Lord of the church. Everything belongs to him. Period. It is through Jesus we have been reconciled with God. We were enemies, remember the scripture tells us? And then through Christ's death and resurrection, we can stand before God justified, holy, faultless, and blameless because of the blood of Christ. That's a big amen. There you go. Good. This is the gospel and the message that Paul is proclaiming. And it's also the message Paul says, I'm a servant to. I'm a servant to this message. This morning's message is titled, Christ in You. And it is the message that Paul came to serve as a servant to the Lord. And we can read about it in what he just starts to describe his ministry in Colossians chapter 1, verses 24. And then we're going to go on to chapter 2 to verse 5. So if you have your Bible open, we're starting in 1:24, chapter 1, verse 24. And we're going to go to chapter 2, 5. And here's what it says. If you have your Bibles, follow along with me. I'm reading out of the Christian Holman Standard Bible. And it says this. It says, now I rejoice in my suffering for you, and I'm completing in my flesh what is lacking in Christ's affections for his body, that is the church. I become its servant according to God's administration that was given to me for you to make God's message fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this ministry, which is Christ in you, the hope and glory. We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I labor for this, striving with all his strength that works powerfully within me. I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, for those in Laodicea. I also, for those who have seen me in person, I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love so they may have all the riches and assurance, understanding, and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. All the treasure and wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. I'm saying this so that no one will deceive you with persuasive arguments. For I am absent in the body, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see how well ordered you are and the strength of your faith in Christ. Amen? Amen. In this passage, Paul is showing what the ministry of a servant looks like. It's kind of like a YouTube video. He's giving it to you. He's showing you. He's going to show you what his ministry is all about. He's going to talk about himself and what he does. And he does not do it because he's trying to pump up Paul, because he wants you to see and understand what the ministry of the gospel looks like. In doing so, he set an example for the church. And this is the first thing that comes to mind. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you see the word or hear the word servant? Nobody? What do you got? Some of you think about, I'm sure someone thinks about someone serving you, right? I know it's hard to ask a question in a sermon. Everybody looks like, do I say something? Do I embarrass myself? Totally get it. Sorry about that. But mainly when we think about a servant, right, we think about someone who serves, right? Like you might think of a waiter. You might even be thinking about a person who takes care of other people. He serves other people. She takes care of people. It's interesting, in verse 23, Paul says, I'm a servant of the gospel. Remember, he goes into this big explanation of what Christ has done for us. And he says, I'm a servant to this gospel. In most places where Paul writes, he says he's a slave or a servant, and he uses a different word. But in this case, he uses the word diakonos. Now, some of you hear that, and you might automatically know what he's talking about. Anybody know what he's talking about? What word do we use in church? That deacon. We see the word deacon here. So he uses this word, I'm a deacon of the gospel, which is very interesting because he uses it twice in this passage. And so it basically means that diakonos basically means to wait tables. To wait tables, to care for, to serve, which is important in this sense. We are called to serve. We're all called to serve. We're here to serve the gospel, and we're here to serve one another. We are called to serve. And we're called to serve others. We're to have a servient attitude. Do we have that all the time? No. But we're called to have it. It's right here. It's plain. Servitude is important to the Christian faith. In fact, its roots can be found in Jesus Christ himself, who said this. He said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, and if anyone in this world deserved to be served, it would be Jesus. And Jesus said, I did not come to serve, but he came to give his life for a ransom of many. He came to serve. The servant, Jesus, came to serve. Just think about that for a moment. As Christians, we have the servant's attitude, a servant's heart. And Paul lists two ways in which the servant is to serve the church. And the first is to make God's word known. To make God's word known. If you read the passage that we read earlier, you'll see how Paul explains that through Christ, God's administration, he was given a message and a task to take the word or message. In some translations, like the Holman, it'll say message. But if you read other translations, it'll say word, because the word there is logos, which means message or word. So it just depends on what the person's trying to say in the translation. But the idea is to take the word and make it known. And that's what Paul was called. He was tasked with taking this word to the Gentile believers. That's the non-Jews. Take to the whole world. So here it was. This message was for a small group for one time. Now the message is to go global. It's to go everywhere. And Paul spreads this message of Christ by preaching and teaching and writing letters to other church leaders. Today, this morning, we read one of those letters. And through those letters, we can know the gospel message. It's taught to us. He shows it to us. These letters have been preserved and handed down, and we still read them today. Just think about that for a minute. This morning, we are actually reading from one of those letters that Paul wrote to a church over 2,000 years ago. And it's still being read today. And it still impacts us. We can read it and we can go, this impacts us. I understand this. I know what Paul is saying. He's calling us even this time, all this time, to this message. Hasn't changed. I love it. Amen? All right, you're awake. As a servant of the church, we are to make the word known. We're to make the known to others, because by it they can know God. They can know salvation. How do you know salvation if you don't know the word of God? Faith comes by hearing, the hearing of the gospel. And we get it from the scriptures. And by reading it and learning the word, we grow in the knowledge and wisdom of Jesus, who Paul says, all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. Somebody this week asked me, you know, where they're asking about starting to read the Bible. They said, do you know any books that could help me this? And I just said, just start with the Bible. That's the book. That's where we go. That's what we start reading. And I will still tell you, go to the Bible. I mean, we can read books about the Bible, but it's kind of odd to me why we read so many books about the Bible when we have the Bible to read. And I'm not saying that those books aren't good, because I read a lot of them, but the Bible's where we got to start, right? That's where we need to plant our roots in, because that's where we're going to grow. And it's only by the Word of God are we going to mature in Christ. You can try to read all you want, listen to pastors, podcasts, everything. All those things are fine. But if you're not in the Word of God, you're not going to mature in Christ. Period. That's it. Okay. Which brings us to the second task of a servant. Paul says, we proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Paul says he labors for this with the strength that God, who is empowering him. So the only thing he thinks about is you growing in Christ, his church, the people that he's responsible for. I can tell you as a pastor, this is my heart's desire. Nothing makes me happier than to present you mature in Christ. I want to see that in every person. You know, we talked about a gift given for pastor appreciation, and I appreciate that so much, but you know what the greatest gift you can give me? The greatest joy that you will bring my heart is to be mature in Christ, to grow in Christ. And you know what the second thing will be make me happy? Is to pray for me as I help you be mature in Christ. Because that's the goal, right? That's the only thing that matters. Everything else is secondary. I take this responsibility very serious. And it's not just my burden, but it needs to be the burden of everybody who's involved with the gospel. Every one of us needs to be burdened with this. Now, I'm not saying that each one of you is going to be a teacher, because people are called to be teachers. But what I am saying, that we should all be servants to make sure that the gospel is presented and taught. Right? We all have different gifts, but our goal has to be to make the word of God known and to help people grow in Christ. And we can serve the gospel by supporting the ministry, by giving your time and your money to the church that will enable us to raise up teachers, to get the education, to do the things that we need to do so that we can teach others. You can support your pastors, your teachers, by praying for them, by encouraging each other to grow in Christ. One of the beautiful things about being in the body of Christ is that, even especially in a small church, I know when you're not walking right. I know that terrifies some people, right? And we know when each other's not walking right because we can see it. But we should have the place of grace where we ask each other, because you're no longer growing in Christ. How can I walk alongside you to help you grow in Christ? How can I pray for you? Do you need help? What can I do for you? That should be the servant's attitude for everybody in the church. We're all servants of Christ. We're all to be servants of the gospel. We are called to serve the gospel, and we're to proclaim this message to the world to help bring about the kingdom of God. Which brings us to the second point, is that the servant proclaims. He proclaims. We proclaim the gospel, which is to announce. We are to share the gospel with the entire world. We are to share the gospel with all people. It doesn't matter what color, race, nationality, where they come from, what their background is. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that we are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. If anything hinders that, then we're not doing the gospel. We're not serving the gospel. We're to share the gospel with the world. This message, which was once a mystery, has been made fully known and has been made known. Peter the Apostle writes this. And when I talk about this, I'm saying in the Old Testament, when you think about the gospel as we know it today, that Christ lived, died, was buried, and rose again for our sins, was a mystery in the Old Testament because they had a Messiah figure, but they couldn't see him dying. They saw him coming in as a king. They saw him as ruling and establishing a kingdom. They had no idea that he was going to die and then rise again and then come. See, that's the thing we don't talk about a lot in the church, is that he did come. This is the time of grace, but there's a time coming when the Messiah figure is coming as king. And you can read about him in Revelation 19. He's coming with a sword. He's got a whole different attitude when he comes a second time, because he's coming in righteousness and judgment. But now we live in a time of grace. Now is the time to find forgiveness. Now is the time to walk peacefully with God. That's not going to be the time then. And so I urge you to think about that. There is an urgency to the gospel message because Christ is coming. He came once and he's coming again. And we can read about it in the New Testament. But here's what Peter wrote about this grace that was coming. The mystery, that's what Paul's saying. This mystery, this thought of Christ in us, was unconceivable in the Old Testament. I mean, God was in the temple. He was in the tabernacle. He wasn't in us. But now this mystery has been proclaimed because we have Christ in us. Peter writes this in 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12. He said, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you searched carefully, investigated. So they were looking for it, but they couldn't quite figure it out. They inquired into the time and the circumstances, the spirit of Christ within them. So Christ was drawing them towards this message within them, was indicating when he would testify in advance of the messianic sufferings and the glories that would follow. See, they could see it, but they couldn't see it. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, because the message was for you. It wasn't for them. It was for us now to read about. These things we have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Angels desire to look into these things. See, even the angels want to understand grace, and they can't. I hope you understand that. What a gift you have in Christ. I just lost some of you there, huh? You're like thinking about that. Whoa, wait. The mystery that is eluding the Old Testament prophets was that Jesus would come to suffer and to die. They would not see through Jesus as a sacrifice that his sacrifice would usher in a whole new way of knowing God. Before, they had to follow all the rituals and all the dietary laws and all these things. And now Jesus was coming in a whole nother way. He would fulfill all those laws, and he would bring through the Holy Spirit, indwell us, and teach our hearts those things. He would change our hearts, and he would live within us. This is the mystery that Paul is talking about, that Christ would live in us and teach those things, and we would naturally follow the laws of God. We would want to. We would start doing it. It would make sense. We could live it in a whole nother way to know God and know him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor or ourselves would become a reality, not just some thought that we could possibly do. It would become a part of, embedded in us to live. God makes us a new creation in Christ. We are born again, not from our own efforts, but we're born from above. God changes us. God changes our hearts. God takes the initiative. We were lost, but now we're found in Christ. And this, for me, is great hope. Because I wasn't looking for God. God was looking for me. And I'm thankful for that. As I said, I'd be perfectly happy sitting in front of TV, watching football, doing whatever, just living life. And God took me from that. Because that's the easy way to live, right? That's the default position. You just live it. This is a lot harder. This takes a whole different mentality. It's turning away from the world. And it's turning towards Christ, which is our hope and our glory. My salvation doesn't rest in me, but in Christ alone. And for this, I'm very thankful. Christ is our hope. Christ is all we need. And Christ resides in us, resides in the believer. He helps me. He guides us. He strengthens us. He is our hope. And in him, we place all glory. He alone is worthy. Amen? You sure? All right. I'm almost done here. Lastly, servant serves. Lastly, the servant serves and continues to serve no matter what the circumstances. No matter what. Jesus said, "The one who endures to the end will be delivered." Matthew 24:13. One of the signs of the Christian, the faith in Christ, is the endurance in faith through extraordinary circumstances. You and I have read about, especially over the last 5-6 years, about the sufferings of Christians around the world. We've seen suffering in the Middle East, and we've seen suffering in Africa, and we've seen suffering in Asia. And these are obvious cases that we can see and witness, we can watch on the internet, we can read about them. And in some of these cases, and we have history too, we can look back through history and we can see how Christians have suffered and been martyred. In some of these cases, we can even read about how God has supernaturally enabled people to endure extraordinary circumstances. Things that you couldn't even imagine. And God has got them through the moment, all the way, even to the point of death, where death was actually a relief. But how about watching someone you love suffer? Do you not suffer in that? How about losing someone to a tragic accident? How about if you just are in life somewhere and you go, "What happened? This is not part of the plan. I never expected to be here, ever." And you find yourself there, and you're in many, many cases. You're stuck. Where are you going to go? You got nowhere. In those circumstances, we suffer too. I mean, it is a form of suffering. Suffering has many aspects. But one thing that I know about suffering, it definitely reveals something. And it reveals something to the people around you. It reveals your faith. I promise you it will. I can tell you, I've been to places where someone lost somebody and their faith crashed. See, their faith never existed in the first place. I hate to say it like that, but I don't know how else to say it. But I've also seen people go through extraordinary times and their faith was a testimony. I mean, they just stood like a rock. And you think, oh, I want that faith. That's a faith that strengthens. A servant of the gospel, we're to live by faith, trusting Christ. We trust in all circumstances because we know, as a Christian, we claim this promise and we hold on to it, that all things work together for good for those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. We cling to verses like that because those are the anchors that are going to keep us from floating away. Those are the stones that will keep us from sinking into quicksand. And I love the rest of Romans when it says this right here. Who can separate us from the love of God? Or the love of Christ, I'm sorry. Can affliction or anguish or persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or the sword? As it is written, because you we are being put to death all day long, we are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these, we are more than victorious through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth, or any created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's where we place our faith in all circumstances. That's what a servant does when things get tough. We are to be servants of the gospel. We are to teach the word, helping believers reach their full maturity in Christ. That is all of our calling, not just my calling, that belongs to each and every believer. Servants of the gospel, we're to proclaim the gospel, for it is the hope in Christ to the glory of God, which we are to live for. It's where we find our joy. We do this no matter what, no matter the circumstances, and we do this by faith. And this morning, I hope you'll just read this letter and that you will just be encouraged. I pray right now, wherever you're sitting, right now you're motivated. That's my whole hope in this, that the gospel, you want to be a servant of the gospel. That's what I want to see. To come alongside other believers, to have this faith, to proclaim Christ to the world, to work together for this purpose. It's what we're here for. If we're here for any other reason, we've missed it. If it's here for the potluck, you missed it. Right? I know you're not here for the business meeting, but the potluck, you know, is food. But we've got to be focused on this, people. We got to think about it all the time. We have to be servants of the gospel. Has to be our number one focus. Because this life is over before you know it. And what matters? At the end of the day, what matters? You're not going to say how many hours you worked, what you did, who you knew, what you accomplished. None of that's going to matter. It's going to be Jesus. You're going to be thinking about Jesus. You're going to be studying for that final exam because you know it's almost crossing over time. Right? Let's do it now. Let's not wait till the last second. Let's build the kingdom of God now together. Here at First Baptist Church of Rockland, let's spread this gospel all through this community. Let's partner with others to make this the Word of God known, to know Christ, to make Christ known. Let's do it. Amen? Amen. So we're going to pray. And what I'm going to pray for, this is what I'm going to pray for. There's some faces out here I don't know. And I'm going to pray right now that if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, maybe today you heard the gospel and God is speaking to your heart, that right now you would say, I want to place my faith in Jesus Christ. I want to place my faith that Jesus died for me up on the cross and that he was buried and on the third day rose again. And because Christ lives, I will live also with him. And I want to become a servant to this gospel. I want to serve Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. If you hear that message this morning speaking to your heart, I pray you come pray with me when we have our invitation. Just come pray with me. Just pray. Come talk to me. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we can just come into your presence right now. I pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts right now, Lord. I pray that you'd move us in ways we have not been moved before, Lord. I do. I pray for this nation. I pray for this church. I pray for this community, Lord, for the gospel of Jesus Christ to explode in our hearts. Lord, let it just ooze out of us, Lord. Let it not be contained within us. And we share and splash all over everybody around us the gospel of Jesus Christ. That it's just we can't help ourselves. That's what I pray for this morning, Lord. Make us servants of the gospel. Help us to proclaim the word and help us to grow one another mature in Christ. Lord, give us the faith we need, the courage and the strength that we need. Right now, Lord, I just pray if there's anybody sitting here, anybody, Lord, doesn't matter how long they've been in church or how this is their first time here, Lord, I pray right now you'd start moving in their hearts. I pray that you'd move them right now, Lord, that this is something I need to believe in. This is someone I need to put my faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe I don't understand it all, but this I know is right. This is true. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd move in that person's heart right now. And that you'd just open their eyes, Lord. Open their heart. Just flood them, Lord, with your presence. Make it no unmistakable, Lord, of who it is. That's not some feeling they're having, but it's the Holy Spirit indwelling them. Make yourself known to them, Lord. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.